Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate
Vasudevaya.
Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 5, Chapter 11. Jad Bharat instructs King Rahugana, text number 5.
Sa
vasana
atma
vishaya
uparakta
guna pravaha
vikrita.
Shodhasatma
vibrat
Pritak namabhi
rupa
vedam
antar
bahishtvam
cha
pura
purai
tanoti
savasanatma
vishayo
parakto
Guna
pravaho
vikrita
shodhasatma.
Vibrat
pritan
namabhi
rupa vedam.
Antar
bahishtvam
cha puraistanoti.
Savasanatma
vishayo
pakarakto.
Guna
pravaho
vikrita
shodhasatma.
Vibrat
pritan
natmabhi
rupa vedam.
Antar
bahishtvam
cha puraistanoti.
Ladies,
Savasanatma Vishayo Parakto
Guna
Pravaha Vikrita Jayatma.
Vibra
Prita Namabhi Rupa Vedam.
Antabhishtvam
chaparaisanoti.
Savasanatma.
Rapita namabhi rupa vedam.
Antabahishtvam
chaparaisanoti.
Sa
that.
Vasana
endowed with many
desires.
Atma, the mind. Vishaya uparakta, attached to material happiness. Sense gratification. Guna pravaha, driven by the force of either sattva-guna, raja-guna, or tamo-guna. Vikrita, transformed by lust and so on. Shodasa-atma, the chief of the 16 material elements. The 5 gross elements, the 10 senses, and the mind. Vibharat, wandering. Pritak namabhi, with separate names. Rupabhedam, assuming different forms. Antak prahishtam, the quality of being first class or last class. Cha and Purai, with different bodily forms. Tanoti, manifests. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Because the mind is absorbed in desires for pious and impious activities, it is naturally subjected to the transformations of lust and anger. In this way, it becomes attracted to material sense enjoyment. In other words, the mind is conducted by the modes of goodness, passion, and ignorance. There are 11 senses and 5 material elements. And out of these 16 items, the mind is the chief. Therefore, the mind brings about birth in different types of bodies among demigods, human beings, animals, and birds. When the mind is situated in a higher or lower position, it accepts a higher or lower material body. Please repeat. Because the mind is absorbed in desires for pious and impious activities, it is naturally subjected to the transformations of lust and anger. In this way, it becomes attracted to material sense enjoyment. In other words, the mind is conducted by the modes of goodness, passion, and ignorance. There are 11 senses and 5 material elements. And out of these 16 items, the mind is the chief. Therefore, the mind brings about birth in different types of bodies. Among demigods, human beings, animals and birds. When the mind is situated in a higher or lower position, it accepts a higher or lower material body. Purport. Transmigration among the 8,400,000 species is due to the minds being polluted by certain material qualities. Due to the mind, the soul is subjected to pious and impious activities. The continuation of material existence is like the waves of material nature. In this way, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, Maya veshe yacha veshe kacha habu dububai. My dear brother, the spirit soul is completely under the control of Maya, and you are being carried away by its waves. This is also confirmed in Bhagavad Gita. Prakrite kriyamanani gunai karmani sarvashaha ahankaravi mudatma kartaham iti manyate. The bewildered spirit soul, under the influence of the three modes of material nature, thinks himself to be the doer of activities which are in actuality carried out by nature. The Bhagavad Gita 3:27. Material existence means being fully controlled by material nature. The mind is the center for accepting the dictations of material nature. In this way, the living entity is carried away in different types of bodies continuously, millennium after millennium. Krishna Buddhi Sejiva Anadi Vahir Mukha Ateva Mayatari Devyaya Samsaraduka. Due to the living entity's forgetfulness of Krishna, one is bound by the Lord's material nature. So the verse again. Savasanatma Vishayo Pagrakto Guna Pravaha Vikrita Sodashatma Vibrat Pritan Namadir Rupa Bedam Antarbahishtvam Chapuraistanoti. Because the mind is absorbed in desires for pious and impious activities, it is naturally subjected to the transformations of lust and anger. In this way, it becomes attracted to material sense enjoyment. In other words, the mind is conducted by the modes of goodness, passion, and ignorance. There are 11 senses and 5 material elements, and out of these 16 items, the mind is the chief. Therefore, the mind brings about birth in different types of bodies among demigods, human beings, animals, and birds. When the mind is situated in a higher or lower position, it accepts a higher or lower material body. Mom Vishnu Vraya Krishna Pristai Bhutai Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swami Tanamane Namaste Sarasatundeve Gauravani Bhacharane Nirvishesha Shnivadi Paskyatya De Satarne. This verse mentions about the mind and how the mind in the conditioned life is covered by the three modes of material nature or contaminated by the three modes, and in liberated consciousness, there is the absence of the three modes. Now the question is, how does the mind become covered and how does it become uncovered? So in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna had said, Dumena vriyateva nir, itardarsho malena cha, itobhain avrita garbhas, tata tenevram avritam. That as fire is covered by smoke, as the embryo is covered by the womb, or as a mirror is covered by dust, so the living entity is covered by different degrees of lust. And the human form of life is compared to the mirror covered by dust. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, Cheto Dharpana Marjana Bhava Mahadevagni Nirvapana. So we can clear the mirror of the mind by associating with Krishna, specifically in this age, by chanting Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama Hare Hare. And of course there's a quality to the chanting. The quality of the chanting depends upon our understanding what we're doing, because intelligence is the next door neighbor to the spiritual soul. The intelligence can convey us to Krishna, or it can take us away from Krishna, depending upon how our intelligence is being used. When the intelligence has misconceptions, then it doesn't help bring us to Krishna. So, Shanaka Pandit has told us the principal misconceptions. There may be many varieties of misconceptions, but the ones that are important are Matrivat Paradareshu, Paralostrasma Lochanat, Lostravat, Atmavat Sarabhuteshu, Yakpashitisa Panditaha. So, generally speaking, as I mentioned before, in the mode of ignorance, we think we're the controllers. So this is, and we think we're the enjoyers, and we think we're the saviors. So this is manifests itself in many different varieties. Here, Chanaka Pandit is mentioning about the principal object of enjoyment, namely sex. Of course, when he was giving his slokas, then there is probably less deviant types of sex life, but generally sense gratification. The principal one being attraction between man and woman. Yan mai tu naidi, griha maidi, sukham, hi tu cham. But we have to change that vision. If we look at women or men and we think that they're going to be the object of my enjoyment, then this is a misconception in the sense that this is what's binding me, this is what's attaching me to material existence, material perception. Because I'm maintaining this idea, because I'm attached to this idea, therefore, material nature keeps me bound by that conception. But if we change the conception, then material nature also changes my conception, my perception. Of course, we have to act accordingly. Therefore, Chandra Kapana says we should see every lady, except for one's wife, to be just like one's mother. So that should be seen in a broad way. Everything in the material world belongs to Krishna, ultimately. Therefore, we should see everything as being part of Krishna's energy, meant for Krishna's enjoyment. So whether, of course, the root cause is sex, but it manifests itself in many varieties, eating, sleeping, defending, as well as mating. And paradwareshu lostrava, that other people's property should be seen just like garbage in the street. That is, we should give up the desire to become the lordship, the laws and the controllers of material nature by recognizing that actually everything is Krishna's property. Therefore, everything is meant for Krishna's enjoyment. And that ultimately the results go to Krishna, not that I'm the liberator, I'm the person who's going to save everyone. I can simply be nimitra matram bhavasavasachin. Simply become an instrument for the fight, Krishna tells Arjuna. Simply become an instrument for me. Don't think that you're the doer. Don't think you're the enjoyer. And don't think you're the savior. Think that you're simply the servant of my servant. And by becoming my servant, you can do good for yourself. And you'll be able to do good for others. Anything besides this is called a misconception. Any other idea besides these ideas are simply called Maya. And they're manifesting themselves in unlimited ways. Prabhupada used to point out that modern societies are very proud of their advancement. But what is their advancement? Generally, their advancement is technological advancement. They have computers, videos, internet. In other words, they haven't changed the basic conception that I'm the Lord, that I'm the enjoyer, that I'm the savior of others. They've simply manifested it in a different way. Therefore, they're keeping the same conception. Atirna Krishne Paratakshatova Mito Bipadyeta Griha Ratanam. They're still bound up in the material bodily concept of life. They haven't really changed anything. They've simply changed the way they're in Maya. 5,000 years ago, people are eating, sleeping, mating, and defending. Today, people are eating, sleeping, mating, and defending. Maybe they're doing it on the internet. But still, it's the same thing. Maybe they're mating through email or something, grossly or subtly. But ultimately, it's simply the same thing manifested itself in a different way. Therefore, the solution is, first of all, if we're going to chant Hare Krishna, we have to have the proper conception that I'm chanting to Krishna because I want to engage in His loving service. But I can't engage in His loving service if I'm attached to material service. Therefore, the more I give up my material conceptions, then the more I'm free to call out to Krishna to engage me in something positive. Or, if somehow or another I can call out to Srimati Radharani and Krishna lovingly to engage me in their service and pay attention. That is, the mind is always offering us different alternatives, seemingly. That's called splayed intelligence. Bhogaishvaya prasatanam taya parita chetasam. Vyavasayatmaka buddhi samadona vidiyate. The mind is offering us so many opportunities. Ultimately, it's only those three things. Become the Lord, buy something, control something, and you'll be happy. You'll be able to enjoy those things you're controlling. Just like when they think that if I become a big leader in ISKCON, I'll be able to control so many devotees and be happy. And then one becomes a leader in ISKCON and finds out trying to control devotees in ISKCON especially will not make you happy. And one may think, all right, I'm going to give up all my controlling spirit. I'm going to become a perfect renounced devotee, attract everyone by my renunciation, and that way think myself, yes, I'm so kind, I'm so nice, I am so humble, I can't believe how humble I've become. And everyone else appreciates how humble I am. That proves how humble I am. Because if I was puffed up, how would anyone recognize how humble I am? So one tries to enjoy one's humility. One tries to enjoy the Krishna delivering others. One wants to take the credit for it. Just like a little boy, he may be with his father in the car. His father's driving the car. He puts the little boy on the steering wheel. And although the father's driving, the little boy's imagining that actually he's doing the driving. When Krishna was lifting Govardhan Hill with his little pinky of his left hand, at that time Nanda Maharaj and the other cowherd men, they stuck their sticks up and they were thinking that, let us help Krishna hold up the hill. So then Krishna transferred a little of the weight from the hill onto their sticks, and then they began to shake and they realized that actually we're not doing very much to help hold up the hill. Similarly, we may imagine that we become some kind of big enjoyer in the material world or big controller, and when we give that up, then we start imagining that we become a big deliverer of others. Whether it be I'm protecting my child, or the doctor may think I'm protecting my patients, or there may be many varieties. Balasya, Neha, Sharanam, Balasya, Neham, Pitra, Sharanam, Pitra, Nishinha, Charagasya, Chagadam, Udavanti, Majatau now. Taptasya tat privridir, Ihanja shestas, Tavadvido, Tanubrito, Tvad ipekshatanam. That you may have very nice parents, but if Krishna doesn't will, the child will die anyhow. You may have a very nice doctor and nice medicine, but if Krishna doesn't want, the doctor won't be able to save the patient. You may have a nice boat in the water, like the Titanic, but if Krishna wills, it's just going to sink into the water. Or even if Krishna doesn't say immediately, or even if Krishna wills that the child may live for some time, but ultimately it's going to die anyhow. Ultimately the boat will sink, and ultimately the medicine will not be able to save the patient from death. Therefore, we should give up the idea that I'm actually the doer. All we can hope for is to become, as Prahlad Maharaj says, the servant of Krishna's servant. That should be our aspiration. That when we see ourselves doing something, what we think is ourselves, we should understand that actually, by the causeless mercy of my spiritual master, therefore, I'm able to do something in Krishna's service. And that doing something in Krishna's service is manifested by Krishna utilizing me as an instrument, utilizing my body, my mind, and my words, what I think is mine, simply surrendering it back to Krishna, and therefore realizing it actually is it's Krishna's body, it's Krishna's mind, it's Krishna's words. I'm simply a little tiny soul acting as Krishna's instrument, trying not to get in Krishna's way. So that's possible if one takes shelter of a bona fide spiritual master like Srila Prabhupada. Because by his association of his instructions, when we become under his influence by following his instructions, then the nainam gunebhyas kartaram drashteva nupashati, gunebhyas chaparam veti sadbhavam sodigachati. That when you can see that there's nothing beyond the three modes of nature and all activities, but the Supreme Lord is transcendental to all of them, then you can know my spiritual nature. So Prabhupada writes in the purport, one can know the Supreme Lord simply by hearing about him from the proper authorities. That when we hear from the bona fide spiritual master about reality, and when we listen with attention and accept it, that this is how I'm going to act, I'm going to become an instrument, I'm going to surrender to my spiritual master and become his servant, when we develop that attitude of service, that at once, the dami buddhi yogam tam yena mamupyatite. At once, when Krishna becomes enlivened, he becomes happy to see that, then at once he enlightens us with transcendental knowledge, that you're right, that's all you are, is Krishna's servant. That's all you can ever be, is a servant to my servant. And I'll reveal to you how nice it is to become the servant of my servant of the servant. And unless we come to that point, then we're missing the point. Unless we come to that point, we may think ourselves, now I've come to something of the mode of goodness, I've gotten a little bit of the mode of goodness, so now everyone thinks I'm a nice person, and I feel happy about that. They love my body. They love my activities. They love everything about me. So we're happy with this body, at least, in connection to this body. But that is simply a different phase of Maya. The mode of goodness is Maya. It is not the object, the goal of life. The goal of life is to become Krishna's servant. So therefore, one has to put Krishna's servant in his heart, the actual servant of Krishna. Hear from that actual servant, not just during the Bhagavatam class, but Chaitasya Sarva Karmani, 24 hours a day, we're practicing to hear from Krishna's servant 24 hours a day and take their instructions within our heart, accept them, and do everything to please them throughout the whole day, to please, and learning from them how to please Krishna. Then the result is, then Krishna will reveal himself to us, we'll see Krishna everywhere. We'll realize that there's nothing but Krishna and service to Krishna, and then our lives will become perfect. Otherwise, then we'll have to be dictated by some desire within the mind, because they're already stored up. They're stored up there already, and there's more of them to be found by not taking shelter of the spiritual master and Krishna. As soon as we don't have that shelter, then we become subjected to so much material influence. Just to add to our material conceptions of life, our material desires. Therefore, we should always, as one time I was in Boston, I went there with some devotees from Buffalo to see Prabhupada on Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Prabhupada's disappearance day in December 1969. And Prabhupada was staying outside the temple, and Purushottam came back and told us that when Prabhupada was about to take rest, he stood on the back of his bed and he fell onto his bed and then rolled over, and he said, I pray to Krishna every night to please protect me from Maya. So that has to be our attitude. Not that I've made so much advancement, I have nothing to fear, even Maya is surrendered to me now. Even Maya smiles when she sees me. So everything's all right. One should always have that feeling that I'm in a dangerous position. Only if I take shelter more and more of my spiritual master and Krishna can I possibly be saved from the horrible enemy of my material mind. All the different lust, anger, greed, delusions, bewilderments, forgetfulness and loss of intelligence that my mind is just waiting to present to me. Unless I constantly take shelter of my spiritual master, that I'm simply being subjected to the reactions of my past activities. And we shouldn't be so happy about that. I have such good reactions. I might as well enjoy them. So, we'll stop there. Thank you. Any questions? Yes. Did you have a question, Marsh?
Thank you, Marsh. You mentioned how this sex desire manifests through eating and sleeping and defending. Can you explain that a little deeper?
I don't exactly say sex desire manifests itself through that, but sense gratification is manifested in these different varieties. Less in eating, probably a little less in sleeping, and much more in defending and mating. Generally speaking, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur has told us, and we have also heard, Takshi Krishna Namani Nabraved Grayam Indriyai. The tongue is very powerful. If one can control the urge to speak and the urges of the tongue, then it's possible to control the other urges. But these are all urges. Vacha Vegam, Manasa Krodha Vegam, Jiva Vegam. They are pushing us to do things with the senses and the mind. So these are all, and when we serve them, that's called sense gratification. The six senses, including the mind, are pushing us in different directions. Anything else? Yes. The amazing thing is that we think, although I'm not consciously following the instructions of my spiritual master, I'm not aware of Krishna, but I'm not in Maya. We think we're not in Maya. We think everything's all right. We don't realize that actually we're in Maya. As soon as even when we remember our spiritual master, even when we remember his instructions, even when we follow them, even when we're somewhat conscious of Krishna, still it's not that we're out of Maya. It means that we're in the process of getting out of Maya. One time Giriraj Maharaj was talking to Srila Prabhupada, and Prabhupada gave some philosophical explanation. Giriraj Maharaj said, "Thank you, Prabhupada. I didn't understand that. I was in Maya." And Srila Prabhupada started to chuckle, and he said, "You were in Maya. You're always in Maya." Yes.
Maharaj, thank you for a nice class. Last night you were saying about the being in the modes of nature, how people want to save the seals or save the whales and save the forests. And then a lot of times nowadays I hear devotees talking about going to farms and becoming organic. And I was just wondering...
They're going to become organic? Better become spiritual.
Well, I'm just wondering how much Prabhupada emphasized that sort of thing. I know he emphasized farm living, but and then maybe he wasn't aware of all the insecticide and all the poisons and things that people use in food. I was wondering, like, is prasadam compromised by not having organic ingredients, or is there, you know?
Well, if you eat prasadam with full confidence, with full faith, and spiritual devotion, in full consciousness of Krishna, then you'll be on the spiritual platform. Prahlad Maharaj, he ate poison. It wasn't organic poison. And it didn't affect him. So it depends upon our consciousness. But still, because we're not fully conscious of Krishna, and probably today or tomorrow we're not about to become fully conscious of Krishna, therefore the quality of the food that we eat will also affect our consciousness. So better eat we offer to Krishna the best possible food available, and we should eat as healthily as possible to maintain the body in a healthy state. But as far as, you know, the prasadam wasn't completely organic, and therefore we start criticizing it, you're going to die because you ate that carrot, it wasn't grown, you know, organically, then it's going to be an interference, first of all, in our devotion and our lack of faith because this was offered to Krishna, what the quality has become, and therefore it's going to become an impediment for our actual advancement in spiritual life. So how it works, just like the speaker may be very powerful, like Prabhupada was very powerful, and if the audience falls asleep, they won't be able to take advantage of it. On the other hand, the speaker may be very attentive, and he may be in ecstasy, and the listener may be in ecstasy listening to the topics about Krishna, and the speaker may be in Maya. So if the man is potent and the woman is fertile, then there will be conception. So both factors have to be there. That's from the Nectar Devotion. So both factors. We want to offer the best possible food to Krishna, cook the best way, etc., etc., and then it becomes more and more powerful. At the same time, we should be devotional when we take prasadam and accept that this has been offered to Krishna, therefore it's become spiritualized, and when eating it, then we should be fully conscious of Krishna, and everything will be transformed, especially ourselves. But if we're in Maya when we're eating prasadam, we won't be able to experience the transcendental quality that it has. Therefore, we won't be able to take advantage of it. So therefore, we should relish, honor prasadam. And at the same time, we should offer the best possible prasadam. And therefore, when the devotees, and when Krishna eats it, when the devotees eat it, due to the love that's invested in it, the concern invested in it, then one will get the maximum benefit from it, spiritual and material. Does that answer your question? Does that answer? Yes.
Thank you, Maharaj. In the third canto, there's a series of verses which says the mind is a product of the mode of goodness and the intelligence is a product of the mode of passion. Can you explain that?
Well, that's a different angle. We've come to the material world to lord it over the material nature. So generally our intelligence from the very beginning of our existence is in the mode of passion, wanting to become, figuring out how to enjoy. But the mind by nature, when it's in Krishna consciousness, is in the mode of goodness. So, from the false ego and the mode of passion, the intelligence is manifested. From the false ego and the mode of goodness, then the mind is manifested. And from the false ego and the mode of ignorance, the senses are manifested. So this is Sankhya, how the different elements. So it is just primordial. The intelligence has come here. We've come here to enjoy. We start out in the beginning with a clean slate, and then the senses help us. But we have to give up this intelligence, as it says, Janmana Jayate Shudra. We're born as Shudras. We're born in the ignorant, in modes of ignorance and passion. Therefore, by Janmana Jayate Shudra, Samskara, by Samskar, then we, what is that? What's that? Bhavetvija. So we can become twice born. We can awaken to a different state of consciousness, of reality, by samskaras. And then, Veda, Panta, Bhavat, Vipra. Then by studying the Vedas, when we become qualified, then we can actually realize that actually we're eternal spiritual beings. So we have to direct the intelligence that we were born with to purify ourselves, our consciousness, so we can come to a higher and higher stage. Brahmanya titi brahmanaha. We can come to Brahman realization, above that, Krishna consciousness. So the intelligence, by nature, is going to always be directing us by our birth towards material modes of material nature. Therefore, only by accepting a spiritual master and accepting the higher Vedas, the Vedic literature, Prabhupada's books, being guided by them, by using our intelligence, being guided by them, can we actually become purified and go back to the spiritual world. Thank you very much. Grantara Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Gaur Premanande Hari Bol.